What a blessing it is to follow what the Lord has told us and taught us, to remember what he has done for us. And it's a blessing to take communion with you as a brotherhood. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13 as we think about feet washing. John chapter 13, I'd like to read the first 17 verses there. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you read down through this passage, there's some spots where, especially when he's talking to Peter there, it seems almost confusing. It probably was to Peter a little bit, because he said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And so then he's wanting him to wash his hands, his head, and everything. And he says, well, you don't need to do that. And he goes into this part clean and so forth. And it's probably a little bit confusing. But the one thing that was not confusing to them was the fact that he was considered their master, their teacher, their leader. And he was stooping to wash their feet like a servant or someone would do, almost like a slave in many cases. He was willing to do that. And when he said, If I don't do this, if I don't serve you, you have no part with me. And I wonder if part of that he was going a little bit beyond the fact of washing their feet, but basically saying, if you are not going to accept what I am doing and serving you beyond even the feet washing, then you can't be a part of me. And so you have to accept what Christ has done. And how did he serve us? Well, and the message brought this out, in his suffering and in his death and in his being tempted. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, a very familiar passage that would speak to this. As we think about Jesus's, like how he actually served humanity and us, as we think about as sinners, how he served us. So Philippians chapter 2, I want to read the first probably 11 verses here. And as we think about this, notice that he tells us to have the same kind of a mind and attitude that Jesus had in serving others. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. That is in the form of a servant here, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. There you have it. Why did he do that? Why did he serve us that way? Well, there are several things, and I'm sure the first one probably pops right into your mind is the fact that he loved us. He says we love him because he first loved us. He loved us, and that is why he came and served in this way. The scripture also talks about the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And I believe that was a couple of things. One, the joy that he can present us faultless before his Father, and also that he pleased his Father in doing it, which should tell us something about how we should want to please the Father. So why do we serve others? What is our motivation? And I think this morning, as I was thinking about this message, the theme that I hope I can get across is that we serve each other in love because we love each other. We serve and do things for those that are maybe even out in the world, not Christians at all. Why? Because we love them. We want to show them Jesus. Do we do it for our recognition? Well, we can. But that's not really what we're supposed to do. We don't serve just to be recognized for our service, although it does bring us a sense of joy. And Jesus did himself say it is better to give than to receive, so it's good that we help others. And I don't think that's just in money. It's a lot of things that we can give rather than to receive. And I'd like for us to turn to one more passage in Matthew as we think about this idea of how do we serve and who do we serve and how does this look? And ultimately, it should be to serve God. But how is that often done? In Matthew 25, start reading at verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit down upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We look at this passage and we could maybe assume from this passage that, oh, our salvation is in helping others. If we help others, then we're saved. And that's not the whole gospel. But the fact is, for those that are righteous, there is that inner desire to help those that are in need. There's an understanding that people need help. They need to be cared for. They need to be ministered to. And so the thing that I noticed about this passage is they said, well, when did we see you in that situation? And they didn't do it because they were wanting to necessarily even please God or, okay, so this is Jesus, you know, so I need to do this. That wasn't their motive. They did it because it was the right thing to do and because they were righteous. And I trust that this morning as we think about helping others and serving others, and sometimes it feels a lot like washing feet. And I think it's good that we still practice it this way together as a brotherhood to remind us that serving others isn't always grand and glorious. It's like washing people's feet sometimes. And I realize, you know, we come to church and we, I suppose most of us, our feet are clean this morning. They don't need a whole lot of washing. But back here, when they walk these dirty, dusty roads, they needed to be washed. And maybe it'd be better if we all came to church on communion morning with dirty feet, so we'd really kind of maybe get a little more feel for it. I'm not saying we have to do that, but I'm just saying as we think about it, this is a good reminder that sometimes visiting those in prison or those that are sick or giving a drink to those that are thirsty or feeding those that are hungry or clothing those that are naked, sometimes it's down and dirty work. It's not always grand and glorious, but that's okay. Jesus did that. Let's have a mind like Jesus, who is willing to take on human flesh to suffer and die for us so that we can have a relationship with him. And let's want to, out of love, serve others. And I know, that's one thing I want to say this morning. I appreciate you as a brotherhood. There's a lot of serving going on to each other and to others outside of this church from you. I know that. I hear about it. And I hear things that you care about people. You care about each other. And it's such a blessing when you hear that so-and-so cared for so-and-so. They did this or they did that. Maybe it's a need we didn't even know about. And so keep that up. Keep it up. I encourage you to keep it up and do it out of love. And I know you do. As you wash feet this morning, think about that. How can I serve others outside of just this? Like, how am I doing? How am I really doing? Am I serving others, and am I using the gifts that God has given me? And maybe you're saying, well, this stage of life, I can't do much anymore. Well, praying for others, caring for others, a little note of encouragement or whatever, those things are serving each other and encouraging.